The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277 and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, me and my little socket.
I knew straight away into her health problems.
Well, we should have them. Well, it's not my health problem, it's my dentist. And you know, I went back, Paul Andrews, I went back last Friday, and he's very brisk. He's very brisk.
And was he brusque?
He was brusque.
He was brusque, was he?
He was brusque.
Yeah.
And I lay there and he said, oh, you've got a bit of bone. That's why it's a dry socket. We've got bone showing. And he said, that's why it's been so painful for a whole bloody 8 days.
Mm.
And in my day as a dental nurse in 1066, if someone phoned up with toothache, we would fit them in then, that day. Mm. We would say, well, you might have to wait, but come down to the surgery and we'll fit you in. We might, you know, work a bit over or, you know, rush somebody out or whatever. But they made me wait 48 hours in agony. And so he popped, he packed it. So at first we said there's a bit of food in there.
Mm.
So he dug that out, which was quite painful because no anaesthetic, obviously. And I didn't want an anaesthetic, but it's quite painful. So he's digging down into my bones, basically. He's digging out my last night's dinner.
Yeah.
And I've been gently bathing with warm salt water, as you're supposed to. Not swilling because you dislodge any clots. But of course, I'm not clotting, and I've always healed really
and
well.
And you've always been a clot, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah.
I'm a brilliant clot.
You're a fabulous clot, the biggest clot I know.
Yeah, and I heal really quickly.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, I then sat there, and then he packed my very deep ravine with iodine, which is very good. I approved of that. And he said it's like chewing tobacco. He's like packed it in like a bird's nest.
Do you have to spit a lot?
She drinks gum and that's a song. She Sally, what's her name? She drinks gum and chews tobacco or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Or something like that. We used to sing that. I bet my money on Sally Brown or something. Okay. Anyway, long time ago that was. We sang that at school. But long story short, he was so brusque or brisk.
He was brusque, was he?
I was trying to sort of ask him, well, why hasn't it clotted? I said, and you know, and he said, well, sometimes it happened. You could have dislodged it, and. And then I came out, and then once, you know, he like booted me out the surgery, because obviously he's not charging me because it was free because he had to sort it out. But it had cost me like about nearly £400 to have this tooth out, which I didn't even want.
You need to get a decent dentist.
Anyway, long story short, as I got out of the surgery, I then thought of all these questions, like, will it heal?
Mm.
What do I do? Because it's still a great
thing. Google is your friend.
Anyway, lovely Christine Bickley, who's my nutritionist for the AstraZeneca, she has given me the link for a holistic dentist. And she said the way, because I had neuralgia for 2 weeks after the jab, told you about the jab, you can get a holistic dentist.
What the hell's a holistic dentist?
Yeah, different type of needle, different slow.
A bone needle, is it?
Really fine, really fine.
Bone needle.
Now, Julia Farley, who's in here, one of our guests this morning, to talk about Greyfest and all things Doglet, sight hounds mainly. She's done everything, you know, Paul Andrews.
Is she a dentist?
Well, no, but almost, because she's not only a police, ex-policewoman. Her father, tell me about your father.
Well, He was in the police as well. He was an inspector in the Met.
Yeah, but your great-grandfather or your grandfather.
Hold on, how far are we going back here?
going back to great-great-great-grandfather was the daughter... Son? No, hang on.
There's a bit of a difference, you know, even today.
Great-great-great-grandfather was the actually illegitimate son of Sir Robert Peel.
Sir Robert Peel, who started the police force, didn't he?
Yes,
he did.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's why they're called the Avengers, Emma Peel. You never know, do you?
You do know that police officers in the early days were called Peelers.
Peelers.
Were they?
Mm-hmm.
Bobbies and Peelers.
So your whole family, because your brother, that we'll be mentioning Joe in a minute, he's a policeman. You were a policewoman. Do you call it policewoman nowadays?
My mum was a special.
Wow, incredible. And then...
My uncle...
I love the specials.
different sort. Yeah. My uncle, he was also in the police, and he was... Robert, so appropriate.
Robert.
So whenever anyone says, Bob's your uncle,
he is your
uncle.
He was a Bobby.
Yeah.
And then you became a nurse?
Yes.
So, like, we're all right. We're covered.
Yeah, yeah.
Any burglaries.
You'd be all right.
And a midwife. Yep. I think I'm a bit past midwifery.
Right.
What about you, Paul? Do you pop one out still?
Unlikely. I'm flabbergasted. Even after all these years of working with you, I'm flabbergasted how we got from dry sockets to me giving birth. I just in the space of it 1 minute and 30 seconds.
Easily done. So anyway, now I'm thinking, what do I do? Do I just sit with this hole in my gum? I can't eat. I'm really bored of having. I keep having scrambled eggs.
Have you tried actually researching what you can do?
No, but when I got home, I researched dry socket, but I didn't really get. I'll do it again. I'll do it after the show. I've been busy.
Google.
It was Shay's birthday. My son, the baby, 28, was, and I had the whole family, and I wasn't feeling very well. And I, you know, what it's like being a woman. You just do it. I did my famous red cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
I'll send you a picture in a minute. Famous red cabbage with Kentish apples.
Oh, nice.
Onions, all organic. I did that. So you layer it and then you use Christmas spices, so cinnamon and all that. I did that. I made a lovely apple crumble.
Oh, nice.
With coconut milk custard. And everybody loved that. But what we did do... Why does my red cabbage make you laugh?
It's not just your... It's how this stream of consciousness goes from dry sockets, midwifery, police officers, red cabbage, all with out breathing.
Yeah, and I've probably got a bit of red cabbage lodged.
You probably have. I mean, it's probably the root cause of your root cause. You see what I did there?
Well, we should be playing Pulp later. And what I did last night was even worse because, you know, I've been very carefully brushing by hand with a hand toothbrush, like going back to the dark age, around that area to keep it clean. And then I...
Russell's my dentist. Russell, if you're listening, mate, can you email me something to get a sort it out,
but
please.
Then what I was doing, I went round with my electric toothbrush and I forgot and I went round the
socket. You don't want to do that. Oh.
And then last night, well, the pain was so bad, I was dreaming of dentists.
Right.
And in my dream, there was a great big surgery with like 58 chairs, you know, dental chairs, and people just lying on drips and things. Mm. Very real. And then the lady said to me, I started talking about AstraZeneca, and then the lady said, these injections that you're having in your gum will turn you into an alien. And then in my dream, I said, we have a greyhound, and some people say that greyhounds are aliens. And that was all in my dream. It was bizarre. But the fact I'm dreaming about dentists now. But he was brisk, you know, and private doesn't always get you better. It's just pots of money. And I don't really like him. I don't love him. So Christine Bickley, has sent me a lovely lady. It's an hour's journey, but holistic. And I will tweet out how she injects, but it's a very fine needle and it's slow anaesthetic. Doesn't feel it. Because that set the neuralgia off.
You don't even need that.
I
explained to you last week, a proper dentist they numb your gum. They have pads that numb your gum to put the injection in.
Yeah, but it's not even that, is it? It's the injection has given me neuralgia. And I asked him that. I said, why is the pain down here when the socket is up here? And he said, the brain does mysterious things.
Oh, it's just...
It's referred pain.
And, no, it's just a nonsense.
And then he ushered me out. You know, I was a nuisance because it was free.
He wasn't
that dashing it up. And no bedside manner. We were really nice to our patients.
But you keep moaning about this, but you picked him. Why can't you pick a proper dentist?
Well, I thought he was good. You know why? Because I used to go to the owner who, you know, I used to know the owner when I did PR. I told you this last week. Chris Loons, he was great.
Mm.
And it's been bought over.
Well, there you go.
Anyway, so welcome to the Business Bunker Show. In the studio, we've got Julia Farley, who's going to be talking about Greyfest. I went last year. Loads of stalls. Lovely, lovely. She's going to tell us all about that. Lots of sighthound things. But she has a query, so we'll be coming on that. She's got a quest.
In the second half of the show, we're going to hear from Tom Finn from Lead Strategy. And we're going to be joined in the studio by Simon Webster of Talis IFA.
Now, Simon Webster, I was going to say Timon then, because you said Talis at the same time. I need more lion's mane, actually, for my brain at the moment. But he is a tax expert, isn't he?
He's a financial expert.
Yeah, but
we're going to be talking about tax at the moment. Yes, but
work with me. So if you've got any tax questions, do tweet them in, and we can put him on the spot, Paul Andrews.
We could.
We do like nothing more than to put our guests on the spot.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to tell you is he's not a, he understands tax, but he's not a tax specialist. He's a IFA. Right, I've had a tweet from the lovely folks at ASL Recruitment down there in Hastings, and they say, oh, today's Business Bunker Show, an eclectic mix of businesses on the show today, Kaizen, dog collars, and dogs, and greyhounds, and tax, and finances, together with the usual banter and nonsense from Jules, I made that bit up, and business news from around the southeast. Why not join Vanilla Webb and Jules Sirkin today? Well, thank you for that. That's Jason Perry and the crew, ASL Recruitment in Hastings. Thank you so much.
And the lovely Sarah Marsh Collins, you can follow her on S Marsh Collings, that's C-O-L-L-I-N-G-S. She says, wow, Jules, you have rather vivid and such awful dreams. I'm with Paul.
It's the drugs.
You need that numbing gel. My dentists have been doing that for years.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit late for the numbing gel. I don't know. I did go as, do you remember Wayne Cunnington advised me to go and get some dental? So I went into the Big Boots, that Big Boots by Ashford. I mean, there were more assistants. There was me in there and one other customer.
Mm-hmm.
There were about, I know, six assistants all standing around biting their nails.
Mm-hmm.
And I...
You can get stuff for that in Boots.
You can. I went up with the gel, the numbing gel, and there was some horrible, great big... It contains something like benzo. And I went, excuse me. And, you know, and they're all chatting. And I go, excuse me. And I said, can you tell me what this ingredient is? Because I, you know, and no, we can't. So I put it back on the shelf.
It's not that numbing gel we're talking about. That's over-the-counter stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but a proper dentist uses a numbing gel before they inject you so that you can't feel the injection at all.
Yeah, but this is 3 weeks later. I'm still feeling...
Yes, I know, but...
Anyway, yeah, well, I'm changing dentists.
Yeah, you would, right. But whilst talking about Sarah as well, she's also tweeted, Sarah Marsh Collins, love hearing about small local businesses, especially if dogs are involved.
She's got about, I have lost track, I think she's got three dogs.
Or something like that.
A couple of spaniels.
I'm tuning into the Business Bunker Show at 1 o'clock today, she says. Michael Park Surveyors, thank you, Paul and Jules. This is our reaction whenever we hear you giving us a Business Bunker shout out. And they've got a very excitable GIF going on there.
And if you look at my replies, you'll see there's a fabulous video of Mr. Mitchell, who's one of Julia Farley's greyhounds. He's a brindle, like my Darcy, but he's huge, much bigger than my Darcy. And he is lolling in his sleep, and there's a fabulous one. So just check Jules Sirkin replies and you'll see it, because replies get hidden on Twitter now.
Did
you read IQ Property Services?
Not yet. Yeah, go on, do that one first. Go on.
Well, no, I'm not going to now.
Go on.
I've lost it.
Go on, go on.
Well, no, they're saying, I was talking about that there's not any gritters out. Did you see any gritters out?
No.
So we've got ice. My front drive, obviously they're not going to grit that, but was black ice. I literally was skidding about and, all the way from Whitstable to Ashford, not one gritter. And yet, lots of road closures with men sort of standing around in orange jackets, not doing anything, and tractors and things. Loads of road closures, not one gritter. Did you see a gritter on your way in, Julia? Did you, Paul Andrews?
No.
That's all right. It just makes me curmudgeonly. And IQ Property Service say, I was telling them about how I had my broken leg put together when I slipped on ice in 97 by gas and air. It was not pleasant and didn't work. And they say, that is hardcore, Jules. It's slippery everywhere today and even colder than yesterday. Tea keeps going cold before we have a chance to drink it.
Okay.
Temperature in my bedroom this morning?
Well, I don't care.
14 degrees.
I don't care.
Don't you?
No.
That's because you weren't there.
Less.
You weren't there.
I thought you were going to read the tweet that they tweeted about the show rather than one of your medical ailments.
I'm scrolling. There's a lot.
Anyway, before you get there, Sam Bowen, Make Do Amend, has tweeted, hi, Paul and Jules. Please, can you give a shout out to me and my campaign, sendinmuseums.org. This is a website, sendinmuseums.org. It's got loads of information how to be inclusive to disabled children, young people and their families for all types of visitor attractions. And there's a story today in Kent Online about it.
Yeah, and I asked her to send me that link for the story.
But she sent you an online Twitter handle.
She just tagged me.
Yeah.
But that's not right, is it? Anyway, I'll find it. We'll find it later, because that sounds really interesting. And Michael Park, Surveyors, thank you, Paul and Jules. This is our reaction whenever we hear you giving us a Bee Bunker shout-out on our favourite radio show.
I just read that.
Did you?
Yeah. It shows you how little attention you pay to me.
I'm scrolling.
Oh, yeah.
Scrolling. It's very, very busy. AS, you read the eclectic mix, didn't you? Yeah, you did.
Did I?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From who?
It was from
ASL Recruitment.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I did read it.
Yeah, yeah. It's busy this morning, isn't it?
It's very busy, and it's this afternoon.
Is it already? Bromley Buzz? Did you read them?
No. Have you not been listening to a word I said?
No.
Okay.
I'm reading. I can't read and listen at the same time.
Really?
No.
Really?
No.
Oh,
Sarah Marsh Collins has put a terrible picture, terrible gif or gif of a dentist. She says, you have vivid and awful. I've read that. But there's a terrible gif I've just seen of Mr. Bean in the dentist.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's giving me the heebie-jeebies. Bromley Buzz.
It could have been worse. Was it the boys from Brazil or something where they drilled his teeth out?
Oh,
I can't remember.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Well, there have been a few of those torture.
Yeah.
Dennis Nielsen, the singer, died in the dentist chair, I heard.
Really?
I was thinking that when he was taking my teeth out.
Right.
It took 45 minutes for one tooth. Unheard of, because it didn't want to come out. I don't think it should have come out. Now I'm thinking maybe I should have said, I don't want it out, leave it in, you know.
Bit late for that now.
I know. So Bromley Buzz, we're here, we're listening to Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin, Bee Bunker Show. It's uplifting, it's fun, it's usually irreverent. This show always puts
it's usually nonsense.
This show always puts a smile on our faces as a relentlessly positive podcast. We love this show.
And fantastic.
And we love Bromley Buzz.
Do you know what?
We're going to be all sycophantic now, aren't we? We love them and they love us.
Uh-huh. Do you know what?
Tunage.
It's cheesy tunage.
Well, it's 1317. That's a record.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Well, this is a record too.
I've got a disc. Who let the dogs out? See what you did there. Yeah. Are they sight hounds?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's it by?
The Boohoo Brothers or something, isn't it?
Boohoo?
Baha Brothers, yeah.
Baha?
Yeah.
Good song.
Yeah. The party was nice, the party was pumping. Hey, yeah. Yeah, and everybody having a ball. Until the fellas start the name calling, and the girls respond to the call. I have a pull my shout out. Who let the dogs out? 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 I see the dance people had a ball, cause she believe on this get out. Get back, Gruffy. Bass Gruffy. Get back, you flea infested mongrel. Gonna tell myself I'm man, no get angry. Hey, yeah. B-I-O. To where the girls calling them canine. Hey, B-I-O. But they tell me, hey man, it's part of the party. Who put a woman in front and a man behind? I hear a woman shout out. Who let the dogs out? 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 Say, a doggy is nothing if he don't have a bone.
Oh, doggy, hold your bone. Oh, doggy, hold it.
A doggy is nothing if he don't have a bone.
Oh, doggy, hold your bone.
Bash Gruffy, get back, you flea infested mongrel.
Well, if I am a dog, the party is on. I gotta get my groove on, got my mind, I'm gone. Do you see the rays coming from my eye? Walking through the prison, Digimon is breaking them down. Me and my white talk, short, feeling, can't see color. Any caliber do, I think I knew, that's why they call me Pitbull. Cause I'm the man of the land, with it to me, that's it.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Who Let the Dogs Out. It's the Baha Men, it's actually by.
Oh, the Baha Men. Do they ever do anything else?
I have no idea.
No, I've never heard of that. Only that dog. It is quite a good dog chat, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Just to let listeners know, I will be videoing guests while they're chatting.
Okay.
So you can actually watch the show as well.
Right, well, turn your video on then, because we're going to talk to our first guest.
Yeah.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back Julia Farley from the Pink Dog Collar Company.
Little Pink Dog Collars. Hello.
Yeah. I got to think about that. And then I was trying to build in Greyfest there as well, but we'll get there.
Thank you.
Cool. Julia, welcome back. Thank you for joining us. At the last minute as well, we had a guest drop out last night and Julia kindly stood in.
Well, I know that Julia's got a request as well, which she can ask the listeners as well, because we've got quite a rural community in Kent as well, haven't we?
Yeah.
Looking for a bit of rural.
Right.
You can ask her.
I mean, what was that? Yeah, I've got a question to ask her, but you can ask it as if I'm some kind of psychic.
Do you want me to?
Well, as if I'm some kind of psychic, how can I ask your question?
Julia and I were having a chat. We chat a lot on WhatsApp, mostly sending each other videos of Mr. Mitchell and Miss Darcy.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
Which doesn't include me, so I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
We'll include you next time.
Include you. Yes. Pictures of us
sleeping greyhounds. I don't want you to include me, thank you.
So last year I went to Julia's Greyfest, which was amazing.
Right, well, shall we tell everybody what it is? Yeah. Because although you two know, nobody else does.
I was about to tell you.
Yeah, no, well, I want Julia.
You ask.
Why have you asked Julia here if you're going to do the interview for her?
I was going to ask her.
Oh, yeah. What are you doing?
I'm videoing you.
And why?
It's very curmudgeonly.
You could actually say that I came on here before Greyfest last year.
Yes, in February.
I think Paul might have been asleep when we were talking about it.
I probably was. Yeah. I probably switched off.
But this isn't
for my benefit. We have listeners out there, and some of them didn't listen last year, so we need to know what it
Come
is.
Come on then, hurry up.
It's not me. I don't know. It's you two.
Shall I just take the incentive and start talking?
Well, yeah, I would if I were you, because this is getting out of hand. Julia, why don't you tell us what Greyfest is?
Okay, I'll tell you what Greyfest is.
Actually, it gets worse, Julia. I tell you.
I know, it's the ages, isn't it? I'll start at the beginning.
Yeah.
I went to a big greyhound meet dog show. It goes back about 7 years now.
Mm.
And I left there very disappointed, and I said the fateful words, I could do better than that.
When was this?
The entrepreneur's perennial shout, I could do it better than that.
And I came away, I was so disappointed. We travelled up to Nottingham and it was like, I could do better than that.
And what year was this?
2014, 15-ish.
Okay.
And the words back from my husband and a friend of mine at the
Steve,
said, well, go on then. And I went, okay. So the friend at the time said, kept sending me venues, and she kept sending me pubs with gardens and campsites.
Mm.
So I said, I'm not taking on a pub just to run a dog show. More famous last words. So long story short, we ended up running the Woolpack in Smeath for a while, and we had our first Greyfest there.
So to listeners that don't know where Smeath is, it's fairly near Ashford.
It's just on the outskirts of Ashford, yeah.
Further down out of Ashford. And basically Greyfest is a gathering of people who love sighthounds, not just greyhounds, but we say sighthounds and their friends. So it's anyone. We have three chihuahuas that come every year, and they are the star. Did you see them last year?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Oh, they're amazing little dogs. And so this is built from a small dog show in the back of a pub garden to following through. When we left the pub, we had to find new venues.
Mm.
We've been to rugby clubs. We moved away from the area where the rugby club was. We ended up in a cricket club ground.
Right.
This is where the problem is that we move on and find a lovely place, and there's something gets in the way, like COVID got in the way.
Yeah.
And in between us booking the venue and COVID clearing up and us having the event, sadly the owner had passed away. So they honoured the event but still didn't want us, that kind of event there.
Yeah.
So each year we've moved to different venues.
Right.
So this dog show has got bigger and bigger. It attracts people from all over the country. We've had visitors from Belgium.
Right.
Japan.
And Japan, yes, of course, France, and some of our traders come down from Yorkshire.
Right.
It's not massive like Paul's in the Park, but we are slightly larger than a small dog show on the village green. Our funds that we raise support not just the sight hounds, but all dogs that are in need. We've used them for...
And Ginny, what kind of things happen at this dog show? I mean, and presumably there are traders and stuff that sell doggy equipment and stuff. And then are there, I don't know how you term it.
Dog shows. So we have rooms.
It's like a dog show. Yeah. So you got best in breed, tallest greyhound.
Waggiest tail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
The funniest one, which I always love to see, I mentioned this last time I was here, was the cow doggies.
Right.
So it's all the greyhounds that are white with black splodges on them at various degrees. And we see them all lined up in the ring. That really is the thing. But there's lots of fun classes like walkie dogs.
I'm sure it changes and you probably don't. But I mean, roughly how many dogs do you get at your show?
Oh, a couple of hundred, easily. But it's not just the sighthounds. So, of course, sighthounds are deerhounds and wolfhounds and salukis, galgos, because we have a Spanish galgo.
Yeah.
You know what the galgos are, the Spanish hunting dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's very knowledgeable, isn't he? Can you tell, Drew?
I like a wolfhound.
I love a wolfhound.
I like an Irish wolfhound.
Yeah, I do. Yep. Yeah, to be sure now.
Yes, that's the one. But it's quite open, and lurchers, there's a lot of lurchers.
Yeah, what is a lurcher? Because my new husband and I were saying, is the lurcher a breed?
No, it's a crossbreed.
Because they're very common now, aren't they?
Our little Annie, little white scruffy lurcher. We think she's a Bedlington Terrier cross with a Whippet. Mm. So it's any non-sighthound cross with a sighthound. So there's a lot of them around.
Lurchers, yeah.
Yeah, they're used for hunting with their sight, so... a lot of them get a very rough deal. Certainly the galgos in Spain and the X-racing greyhounds, a lot of them, there is a lot of them.
Right.
But they bring their friends as well. So if you've got a shepherd in the family, they come along too. As I say, we had Rottweilers.
You mean a German shepherd?
Yes, German shepherd.
Yeah. So not a man that's with
I thought
sheep.
It was a man with a crook and a lamb under his arm.
Because your dog is a lurcher, I think. I think your dog is a lurcher.
Possibly.
Yeah. Why? Your dog is from Greece, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rescue. I think it's a lurcher.
Why?
Well, ask Amanda, but I'm pretty sure it's a lurcher.
Well, I think it's a mongrel.
Well, it's kind of lurchery. It's got whiskery, that lurcher look.
Long nose?
No.
No. Maybe not.
No. I don't know. Do lurchers just have long noses? I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought... do they?
They have to resemble...
I mean, I'd say a saluki has a long nose and lovely ears, of course. But I wouldn't think a lurcher has long nose.
Get
Amanda to measure it.
Amanda's dog doesn't look anything like a lurcher. It looks more like...
His face when he's describing it.
It looks more like a retriever.
Really?
A cross between a retriever and a Labrador. If you were going to, I mean, it doesn't look like either, but that's the nearest it looks like.
It's kind of grey in colour, isn't she?
No, she's blonde.
Is she? Yeah. Oh yeah, but she's very whiskery. Anyway, I think we might
have to see a photo.
You might have to go round. I think.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she can come to Greyfest this year.
Yeah,
possibly.
She would love that.
It was because she had a birthday party last year, so you couldn't come, could you?
Right.
So. No. But you have a request to listeners.
I do. I know there's a lot of lovely people out there. We are looking for a venue for this year.
Right.
And it has been quite a struggle finding somewhere. Obviously, August, we're flexible with our dates, but August is ideal, beginning of September.
So why do you choose those months?
Because it's nice weather.
Because it's warm.
It's because it's warm and because a lot of our people coming from further afield camp.
Yeah.
So they like to stay over, and there's a lot of fair weather campers out there. And
But so, June is nice as well, and July.
June, yeah.
Just saying. Carry on, Paul.
But also, if we get closer to June, I've got to organise this before.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and we haven't got to the crux of it. Will you keep deflecting it, Jules?
I'll get there. I need a venue.
Yeah. But what we need to determine isn't why people camp in August. What we need to determine is what you actually need.
What I need.
Yeah,
did
you need just a field, or do you need something with facilities, and how big a field?
Okay, well, facilities are always wonderful, but we can do with a venue with just water. So anywhere that we've got enough space for people to set up the show rings, the stall holders around, so the gazebos around the rings. So we need a nice bit of space.
And what are we talking, an acre, 2 acres?
Oh, for that, but probably more. So imagine a cricket ground.
Okay.
So but room for... Last year we had...
2.5, 3 acres.
Because you've got to have the parking as well.
It's parking, so yeah. the field doesn't have camping. To be that big. Yeah, as long as the space that we can put maybe about 30 campers, and they're very, very well-behaved campers.
They are lovely.
Rowdy parties, yeah. And the show ring itself probably you could do with an acre field, but we need space for car parking and for camping.
Right.
And also for the stalls, because you have some amazing vendors that come.
Probably 1 acre, that sort of size area for the show itself, but it's right. The extra bits like the parking and the camping.
Yeah.
I've struggled. I really have. If it's the village green, we don't want vehicles on the green. Yeah. If it's a wedding venue, it's like £1,500 a day. We are small.
Yeah.
Well, we're not a charity, but we fundraise for charities.
I mean, so. there's places near me that stage things like the Tractor Fest and what have you.
Yeah. Slightly far for me, because I'm coming from the other side of
Canterbury. So my next question is, where do you want it?
Fairly loosely. Last year we had it in Faversham.
Right.
So it needs to be, because we are a little bit more, well, I say specialised, but our visitors come from Essex, Maidstone, further away. We need to be central. So we're flexible in being central, but not too far
Faversham
from us.
Faversham was perfect. Not too far, and it's easy to come from various areas.
And us coming from the other side of Canterbury, because we've got to go and set it up, and I backwards and forwards each day and preparations, it needs to be not too far.
It's a two-day festival, isn't it?
It's a two-day festival. That's hence the camping. But people do like to camp from the Friday so that they're ready for the weekend.
Yeah. So... if anyone out there knows someone that has a venue to hire in the summer for a dog show, please get in touch. You can either get in touch with me at hello@bizradio.co.uk or with Julia at...
yes, I've got... it's an email address. It's greyfest@AOL. No, sorry, get it right. greyfest@mail.com. Not Gmail, just mail.com. So it's greyfest, GREYFEST. Or we are on Facebook. If you go into Facebook and look for Greyfest.
Fantastic.
We're not the one in Texas, though.
Is it the same thing in Texas?
They have something similar in Texas.
Wow.
Now.
Yeah.
But you can also have a little look to see what the event's more like on Facebook, because people put their photographs up. Everyone likes to get involved. So,
please help Julia find a venue for this. It's a popular show, and I'm sure there's lots of things that can happen and can go along with it. So if you've got the premises, the field, the venue that could help somewhere in central Kent that's reasonably easy from Canterbury, Ashford, Faversham type area, would be perfect.
That would be perfect. And we're always very kind to our hosts, and of course, obviously lots of advertising for them as well, because we've got a little website and we've got about nearly 3,000 people in the group. So
right, okay. Sorry, I had a cunning plan unfolded, but
because you've got quite a big garden.
No, my garden's not remotely big enough. Yeah. But I have got some space somewhere else, but it's not very central at all.
That's the trouble, and I agree with you. Like, you know, you do need it where people can come to, there's roads, basically.
There's great places around the coast, in Sandwich and around there, but it then cuts off a whole lot of people that it would just be too far for them.
I've put Julia in touch with a couple of places, but again, a wedding venue, they're so busy with weddings, and then Susanna, who's got the farm, organic.
I don't know who, but it's like Tractor Fest, for instance, which is near me in Tenterton. That's a massive show. It's a farmer's field that they're using, basically.
That's all she needs.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. There's loads of things like that for things like grass track and motocross and stuff. All of those kind of things happen right across Kent in big fields, and they've all got they're just farmers' fields, but they have sporting events there every weekend or whatever.
I've got two more farmers to ask, and I'll also get in touch with some farmers' markets and see where they are, because it's a great festival. But you also do a lot with rescuing dogs. I mean, you've got some amazing stories and all the way that you look after your rescues.
You've got five of them, all failed fosters.
yeah it's really sad, and yet they're all really well behaved. When I go, they don't look like bandits, you know. You wonder why they fail, but
apart from Annie.
Yeah.
She's a bit of a handful, but then that's due to her history and how she was.
Well, it's like we were saying, it's dog owners, not dogs, generally, isn't it? You know,
she's very reactive because of, well, as she grew up, where she grew up, there would have been bigger dogs, and she's very defensive.
Yeah, in the pecking order. Mm. So, aside from looking for a venue for Greyfest, you also make these beautiful handmade collars, you make leads, you make house collars, because Darcy now has a house collar.
What do you mean? The collars that get lost and then they're found on the gin cabinet?
Oh, yes, yes.
That's
another story. Yeah. And then I get lots of admiring looks for those collars, but... because Darcy has a spring one, which is yellow with flowers on, and then
she's getting a bit of a wardrobe now, isn't she?
She is, yeah. Mm-hmm. But you also do the discs with the address on?
We do the discs. Steve is the one that makes the collars.
Yeah.
He's expert in making these collars. Yeah, he takes a lot of care.
He's got a little sort of, what is it, a gazebo sheddy thing in the garden, a man shed.
That's mine.
Is that yours?
That's my wooden engraving things. That's
okay,
mine.
So you do the engraving. So run us through what you do for the business.
Not long started this. I took this over summertime last year. I've got a laser cutter, so I make little dog shaped, all the breeds, key rings, fidge magnets, bits and pieces like that, engrave them, hand paint them. I've learned how to paint.
Wow. And how do you retail them then?
Etsy, eBay, and our own website. We have our own website, littlepinkdogcollars.co.uk.
Littlepinkdogcollars.co.uk.
That's us.
Okay.
There's a link to it on the radio website.
And which is your best platform, do you find, for selling at like Etsy and all that, or via website?
Sadly, it is Etsy because they're very expensive. But there's a world of customers out there. Mm. And each thing we send out, we've got stickers all over it. Come and find us at littlepinkdog.co.uk, find us on Facebook, find us here, find us there. And people still keep buying from Etsy.
Yeah.
We have repeat buyers that buy within a week of each other, and they're going back through eBay or Etsy. And
so we maybe need to look at changing what you write. Mm-hmm. Why are you repeat buying on Etsy when we can do?
Yes, well, I put a code on there, free postage, really? With this code, and it's on their envelopes, it's things we put in.
I love a code.
Yes.
I love a discount code, don't you?
We have. I mean, I'm sure your customers...
people do it all the time. It's like Amazon. You know, you see something for sale. I don't know about you. You see something for sale on Facebook with a direct link. I go into Amazon, see if they've got it.
Yes. Don't buy things from direct link on Facebook. So you end up
exactly.
Chinese website that's a scam.
Exactly, yeah. So that's you're absolutely right. And that's why a lot of people go to somewhere they know.
Yes.
Because they know what they, you know, they're trusting it, if you see what I mean. Yeah,
plus, often your MasterCard or whatever is already there, so it's much quicker, isn't it, than putting the whole number
in. And you know that if you don't like it, you can send it back, and, you know, it takes all the pain out of the transaction. Mm. So people are very risk-averse in terms of doing anything else.
But to be fair, I think with our customers especially, because the collars, Steve makes collars for all breeds, but... primarily the martingales and the wider ones that are more suitable for the greyhounds and the sighthounds, not something you can pick up in Pets at Home. So it's something that people come back to us, and we have repeat customers that come back to us and through Facebook. So they'll send us messages on Facebook.
Do you ever get customers that lose their dog collars and then come back to you?
Yes, funny enough, I had someone recently who could not find, she's got one dog, one dog collar, and she lost the collar and went into a panic, contacted us.
I know, I mean, the
collarless dog.
The anguish was unbelievable.
And I said to Steve, how on earth can somebody lose a dog collar? So, yeah, we went through this palaver, we replaced this collar for this, which is a lovely lady, really, but then
living in
some
Whitstable.
Weeks later, we had a message say, "Oh, we found it on the gin cabinet."
She was drunk when she put it away.
Then, she came in from a breezy walk, and
she actually blamed her husband.
Yeah,
well, of course,
my new husband.
Of course,
my new husband. Yeah. Terrible. Did you see him saving the seagull? By the way,
I did. Yeah, seagull with his head in a crisp packet.
Yeah. I didn't see
that. So I'll put it again on the. Put it out now for the bunker listeners. So on Saturday, I went to my youngest, Shay. It was his birthday. He's 28. And he organised, they have these mobile saunas on Margate Beach. Mm. So he organised the sauna, but then you have to go and sit in this barrel, which has iced water in. So I didn't fancy the barrel. I decided to run into the sea. So there's a lovely video of me, my daughter Sydney and Gavin, new husband, all charging into the sea. Gavin got out very quickly, sort of went in, turned around. I've got a metal knee, so I'm sort of lolloping down. Then I go in. Of course, Margate Sea is so revoltingly dirty. You can't see the bottom. And I thought, am I going to stub my toe, fall over? Da, da, da. So I went in very gingerly. Sid stayed in for ages. But it's great. But Margate, the rubbish by that, was it Newland Hotel or something?
Mm-hmm.
On the bay, it's this beautiful hotel with a dining area.
Hold on. See, you're off track again.
Yeah.
You started off telling us about a seagull.
I'm going to. So the rubbish in this beautiful hotel, I don't know if it's DHS.
I don't know why we need guests on this show. Nobody gets a word in Edgeworth Studio.
The rubbish is strewn.
Is she still
everywhere.
Talking?
She is talking. Okay,
there's old nappies, there's bin liners, and of course the seagulls have pecked the bin liners and everything. So, you know, we parked amongst the old nappies, and then we saw this poor seagull, Bill, I think his name was, and he was running around with a crisp packet over his head. And he was absolutely traumatised. He was banging into things and running around. And obviously in a panic, predator could come. So new husband leapt over the fence and took off the crisp packet. So I'll put that out in a minute. And we all cheered. And he threw the crisp packet on the grass, not thinking. It was just, you know, the whole furore of it. And then I went, pick it up. So he picked it up.
Did he put it on his own head?
Yeah, he put it on his own head and then ran around like a... what rubbish does to wildlife is, of course, lots of glass on beaches for dog paws.
Yeah. Poor Mr. Mitchell was limping.
Mr. Mitchell, yes.
Mr. Mitchell, my 42-kilo greyhound, who rather loves Miss Darcy, was out for a walk a couple of weeks ago. I don't think I told you. He started limping. And I was like, come on, walk it through. Be a big, brave man. Keep walking. And got home and checked. He got a staple in his paw.
A staple?
Huh? Yeah.
Who drops a staple?
Don't know.
Oh.
Staples. Just an unused one. So.
Paul's nodded off now. You know, we're talking about dogs. He's nodded off. But do you ever get involved in helping people rescue dogs or, you know, fostering? I know you foster, but do you... you keep these five dogs forever? Or will you try and home them? So they're now yours.
They are failed fosters. They're ones that have come to us, like our little Spanish Galgo. She came to us as a foster. Because she was, her home in this country had failed and she couldn't go back to Spain, and it was the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So we said, well, we'll take her in for the rescue that we support that you have the calendar for, the 112 Collector.
Yeah, great
Galgos.
Calendar. And they can buy the calendars from you if you haven't got a calendar.
They're all sold out.
Oh, have they? Yeah. I love them.
I'm going back out in April, May with my niece. We're going to take photographs for next year's calendar.
Mm.
So that's kind of what I do. I don't have the hands-on rescue of it, of the dogs, but I do support them with the fundraising. And
whereabouts you go in Spain?
It's Malaga.
Malaga.
Cool.
Mm. You want to foster one, Paul?
No.
No.
You'd be good at it. You've got a lovely big garden.
No, thanks.
He's not a dog person.
No.
That's not true. It's not true. My issue with pets of any kind, and it isn't just dogs, is that...
You can't go out again.
No, they're a tie, aren't they?
You have to respect the pet and you have to look after the pet.
Mm-hmm.
And that has restrictions on what I can do. And therefore, that's why I don't have pets. It's not because I don't like them. It's because I don't have the time to look after a pet full time when I'm trying to run seven businesses as well.
Mm. I think pets work especially when you've got kids and you're at home more. And certainly when we had a dog before and then we have three kids at home, there's always somebody at home doing homework or whatever.
Mm.
But most dogs can be left for 3 or 4 hours. It's just we're working on it, me and Darcy.
Unless you've got an old granny like I have who is demanding and wants feeding every few hours.
I've seen her lolling there while you give her bits of chicken and all sorts.
Very spoilt.
Yes.
I mean, for me, this is the big thing. You know, so many people go, especially children who badger their parents, oh, I want a puppy or I want a kitten or whatever. But the problem is that is a massive commitment.
It is.
And you have to have a lifestyle that's conducive to being able to look after animals. And if you have that, that's brilliant. But a lot of us don't have it, but we still insist on getting animals. And it's not fair on the animal.
No, it's not
fair on having an animal that's left alone for 9-10 hours a day
Or in the case of greyhounds on their own, they are pack animals, Jules. Mm.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
like not, friends.
Oh, I know.
Not only that, in the case of certain greyhounds, if you leave them on their own, they'll eat the house.
Well, I could show you my boots today. I'm going to stand
I don't
up.
Want to see your boots.
Right, look. What's missing on this one?
A tab. Yeah. Oh.
As opposed to that one.
She's yeah. telling you she needs a friend.
She's taken my tag off my boot. So yeah. now, when I go out, it takes me an hour to put that right boot mm. on. Why would she take the tag off? Yeah, anyway, she was in a funny mood today. She doesn't like Tuesdays. Doesn't like bunker days at all.
Exactly.
But you're full-time. You and Steve are full-time running this really small business.
Yes,
this
SME. Yes, between us. And the wooden things are picking up now. And the rush before Christmas was pretty hectic. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we're full-time doing that. Mm. Well, maybe nearly full-time, but, of course, running the house, getting ready for Greyfest. When I start getting ready for Greyfest, as soon as I have a venue and a date, yeah. that's it. Then I'm spending a lot of time doing that, finding stallholders, promoting it, getting the prizes ready. I mean, we have sponsorships and programs.
Do stallholders pay for their pitch?
Yes.
Okay, so they pay for your pitch. You charge, I think, £5 for entrance for
yes.
us, which is...
And that lasts the whole weekend.
Yeah, it's great. That I
children
mean,
free.
I stayed there all day, ate, drank, merry. Very good.
And the lovely Lelia, I don't know if you had her food, Lelia's Kitchen, who came last year, she's yeah. going to do our food again this year.
Wow.
And my brother is going to be bringing his new coffee.
Do they do hot dogs?
Very, very, very
you
good.
You have a hot dog stand?
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
They
maybe.
Were hot dogs, so it was a very hot day, wasn't it?
It was hot dogs.
And your brother is called Joe's...
My brother is James, and he is just setting up his new coffee trailer with a horse box. He's filling it out as we speak. It's going to be the Joe box. He has he's got himself a business account. He's got a Facebook page, and he's just really starting to get off the ground with it. And cool. he's going for it. He's going to be self-contained. The only thing he's going to need is water, so that he'll have solar panels and batteries.
Wow.
Yes, and everything's going to be gluten-free because his daughter Ruth is celiac, so. Inspiration
right, okay.
from
that's
there.
Great. Mm. There you go. Whole family of entrepreneurs, ex-police.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Well, we're going to have James, is it?
James,
yeah,
yes.
we're going to have James on the show later in the year. Yep.
So if you've got a venue that you think would suit Greyfest, do get in touch either here at the Business Bunker or Julia Farley at Greyfest on Facebook.
Yes, Facebook. Or
you'll find them. Steve Hayes, Hayes, Greyfest, and or get in touch with us. All details are on kentbusinessradio.com.
They are indeed. They yes, are indeed. Please. Julia, thank you so much. So if you've got if you've got a venue, don't forget to let us know and let us know in good time so that Julia can plan this year's Greyfest.
I was reading in The Guardian that two of my favourite restaurants are up for awards. Nominated so the Good Shed
yep.
in Canterbury,
uh-huh,
yes. Susanna's Place, which I love, Field to Table, I think they called that area, and also Will Devlin's
yep.
the Small Holding. So two of them, and also the Sportsman's up again
in Whitstable, yeah.
But two of my favourite, the Good Shed and Will Devlin's, especially. I mean, I've been to the Sportsman as well, but I love the other two.
Yeah, yeah,
so my
absolutely.
Vote. And the landlord of a Kent pub said it was an honour to be chosen as a runner-up for the best place to drink in the country, not county.
Well, country.
Be careful when it's Kentish News. Could be county, could be country, but there's an R there, so it's country. It's the Nelson Arms in Tunbridge. And they reached the final four of Camera's National Pub of the Year Awards after it claimed the regional title. So well done. Mm. That's brilliant. So that's the Nelson Arms in Tunbridge.
Okay.
I do like a real ale.
Absolutely.
Mm.
Do you want to be shocked?
Yeah.
New figures show which Kent councils, borough councils, have the highest level of debt.
Oh.
Canterbury City Council leads the way.
Oh, Kelsapries.
With a debt of £157 million.
Yes. How do they even do that?
Followed by Ashford Council with a debt of £124 million. Gravesham, £84 million. Folkestone, £67 million. Dover, £69 million. Dartford, £32 million. Maidstone, who just aren't trying hard enough, at £5
million.
Yeah. But Swale, Tunbridge and Morlin and Tunbridge Wells have no debt at all.
Wow.
Oh, good for them.
Okay. But what about this? Kent County Council's debt is £787 million.
Oh, my goodness. It's shocking.
It is absolutely shocking.
Absolutely shocking. And what will they do? Put up parking prices, put up our
poll tax,
I call it.
Two or three kind of reasons behind this, and not least of which bad management.
Yeah,
we've just got to face that. But also, of course, the government has been cutting the money that they give whilst increasing the services they have to provide. But of course, councils themselves waste money on frivolous stuff, not on ring fencing what they do. And in the case of both Canterbury and Ashford, there is a little bit of mitigation because both of them invested heavily in big infrastructure projects. Although in the case of Canterbury, it's no excuse because they spent lots of money building Whitefriars and then stopped anybody parking anywhere near it.
Well, I was thinking I quite like to pop into Canterbury. I haven't been for ages. I'd go to the Canterbury Whole Foods, get a few things from there. And then you used to go to Canterbury Whole Foods, didn't you? You used to know the boys from there because it's where Fruitworks is now, didn't you?
Well, of course I knew it because I took it over.
Yeah. Well, no, it's moved. It's still.
Yeah, it's
not,
in a burger.
You're not
now.
Selling lentils, are you?
I could.
Yeah, you could.
I tell you what, we are selling coffee.
Yeah.
No, but not just in cups. We sell coffee to go
coffee
now.
Coffee beans.
We sell retail.
Yeah. Oh, very good. But I would go to Canterbury Whole Foods and I would go maybe look around Fenwick's, might get a mascara or something. But then I thought, why would I pay?
Is that a chicken mascara?
Why would I? My lovely Moroccan has gone from there. You remember the
Cafe Moresque.
Cafe Moresque
has
gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
So I thought, why would I pay £7 or £8? Just when there's nothing there that anymore. Monsoon is gone.
Quid for what?
Parking.
You're joking. I went to Fruitworks on last Friday. £17 it cost me to park.
You're joking.
I'm
not. Where did you park? In a helipad?
No, Pound Lane.
It's more like £17 Lane.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Pound Lane. Wow.
It's behind Westgate.
The cinema and go under the underpass. But it's crazy money. And, you know, if you're having lunch there, you're thinking, well, I'm paying for this. You know, I like to support an independent business. I go to some of the restaurants.
The car park costs more than the lunch.
It's crazy. And, you know, I used to go to Topshop and get a cheap pair of sunglasses, try them on. You know, you can't. There isn't a Topshop anymore. I love Monsoon. There isn't a Monsoon anymore. So then you spend all your time buying online and then sending it back because it's not. And it's such a hassle to send things back. So why would I go to Canterbury and pay for parking? What do you think, Julia?
Parking is, I mean, the cost of parking just really does put people off going.
Yeah.
We don't go. I used to love going into Canterbury.
Yeah.
And having a
have a browse. Exactly.
It takes me back to my childhood. Yeah. Wandering around the cathedral.
But a lot of the little indie shops have gone now. Those browsy shops. Yeah. And honestly, Fenwick's is like a graveyard sometimes, you know.
I remember it as Reisman's. That used to be a great place to go, and a coffee shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what to say about this. You know, the trouble is these things aren't run by people that know how to run these things. That's the biggest problem, isn't it? Any businessman will tell you that if you try to put your prices up past a certain point, then all you're doing is driving away business. And the problem with a lot of these councils is they don't think about it in terms of lowering prices to increase business, if you see what I mean. Yeah, they never go that route, which is a standard practice for a lot of businesses. You know, it's why businesses have sales, isn't it? They go, right, you know, it's a 20% off sale because they're going to sell 200% more products.
Yeah. But we've lost Debenhams and we've lost, what was the big
home stores?
Yeah, we've lost
Reisman's was a big one in Canterbury.
But what's the big one that's just closed that the
Masons?
Old
Mason's.
We lost that.
Close about 4 years ago.
Yeah, I know. We've lost, so did Debenhams. Mm. And now we've only got Fenwick's, and I kind of wonder how long Fenwick's will hang on because it's a beautiful store, but it's empty when I go there.
But the whole concept of a department store, which is when they were invented, was a really clever thing to do. Gordon Selfridge invented the concept of a department store.
Yeah.
And they were a very clever thing to do because it's a building that had everything in.
Yeah.
We now call that a shopping mall.
Yeah. Which has free parking.
And which has free parking. Yeah. And Canterbury is sat there like 15 miles away from West Cross.
Yeah.
Or whatever
Westwood
it is.
Westwood Cross.
Westwood Cross, yeah. Which is a massive shopping mall with free parking.
Exactly.
That's easy to get to.
Yeah.
You know, whereas they do everything they can to stop you going to Canterbury.
Exactly. Exactly. And rates, of course.
And it's not just Canterbury, it's other towns and cities are as bad as well.
Yeah. I just remembered the name of the gluten-free restaurant in Canterbury because it always comes like, you know, Oscar Bentley. And they're lovely. So it's a very small one opposite where Debenhams used to be, Oscar Bentley. They're well worth it. Everything is gluten-free. Take Joe's daughter, sister.
James's daughter.
James's. It's going to be very complicated calling him Joe or James, but I'll try and remember.
It's only complicated if you don't pay attention.
Coffee, isn't it?
Yeah.
Half cup of Joe, yeah. And his daughter's called Joe, so
he's kept
that.
Okay, yeah, now I know.
Okay, we've had a tweet from Martin Reeves, collector's buddy. He said, I had intended on listening to the Business Bunker Show live, but my car has gone wrong again.
Oh, no.
And everything seems to be going a bit Pete Tong. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Martin. Just got back from the garage now, but battling with the elements offline today. So I'll listen on catch up. And he sent a nice little banner that says, never give up.
Bless.
So I hope you get it sorted, Martin. Sorry to hear about your troubles. And yeah, do listen on catch up when you're ready.
Sarah Marsh Collings has tweeted in. She says, my Barney is a rescue from Spain. Little pink dog one, she's tweeting you. He's from Murcia. And leash positive, but fit as a flea. I don't know what L-E-I-S-H means. Leash
positive.
It's a doggy word.
No, it's a parasite. So a bit like malaria, something
like
that.
Oh, is it?
And it never goes away. They have to sort of keep it
under control. Okay. But fit as a flea, leash positive. Okay, that's a new word for me. He was terrified of people when he came to me. Oh. Cuddle monkey now. He's Britney Spaniel. And here he is being a hot dog, Paul Andrews, under the electric blanket. Here we go.
A little picture of him
snuggling.
Look. Oh, he's gorgeous. Well, yeah. We have a Spanish dog class at Greyfest.
Oh, there you are. Yeah. There is a Spanish dog. He can be, Barney can be entered. And I will cheer him on. Who else have we had? Yeah, sorry about that, Martin. That's awful. I expect he'll be listening in the loft later. Now, Aldi
I've got Hold on. I've got a message from Terry here.
All right, what's he saying?
He says the wife asked me if I'd seen the dog bowl. And he said, to be honest, I didn't even know he played cricket.
I love that.
Yes.
I love that.
The old ones are the oldest, aren't they?
Aldi Supermarket. I'm glad Simon Webster's just coming because there's a very big number here that I won't be able to read, financial. Aldi Supermarket has pledged more than 18 million towards building new stores and upgrading existing sites across Kent. Aldi's investment, it looks like 18,366,000 comma 900, lots of noughts going on.
Any pence in the end?
No pence. Will include upgrades to the Sittingbourne and Whitstable branches, as well as building a new shop in Ashford. That middle aisle in Aldi, oof, it gets you, doesn't it? You go into Aldi, you go in for one thing that you really need, and then you go down that middle aisle and you come out with a hob, a dog bed.
That home bargain.
A bazooka.
What's a bazooka? That used to be bubblegum.
Exactly.
Simon Webster's here, so I'm just conferring with you. That number, pass it at the bottom number. 18, is that 18 million or billion? Must be million.
18,366,900 pounds.
Yeah, I got it. No pence. But no, that's their... seems a lot of money to upgrade two stores or a couple of stores.
It is terrifying how much construction costs.
Hello, Simon. Nice of you to join
nice
us.
To see you. Yeah. You were looking at me and asking the questions.
Well,
I thought I would say something.
As you emanated through the door, I thought, here's a man who will know the figures because I just saw noughts.
Luckily, Simon, you just missed me reading out the debt burden of all the local authorities in Kent.
Yeah, but the good news is Kent's was relatively modest in comparison. It wasn't nil.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't the ridiculous number it is for Woking.
Was it something like 1.1 billion or something, isn't it?
I think it's can't remember the number now. Was it £1,799 per taxpayer in Woking of debt?
It's over £1 billion. £1 billion.
I don't know how anybody could actually spend that and not do anything. I was just saying...
You should come shopping with me.
I'd love to. When I drove in today, we had ice in Whitstable, and from Whitstable to Ashford, there were lots of little signs with icicles on them, but no gritting. I didn't see one gritter.
I actually had a little bit of a scare on the way in this morning, and I'm, this is a genuine story, and it really happened. So I came in past the international inland border thing at Sevington, and on that little bit of new dual carriageway by there, a motorcyclist fell off.
Right.
Three cars in front of me, and I just captured the bike. I've got a onboard video
cam
thing, video dash cam thing, and I just captured the guys just falling off. Fortunately, he and his pillion both got up.
Was it ice? Do you think?
Well, I'm assuming so. I can't think of anything.
So he just went.
We got to go to the break. We got to go to the break in a second. But I had that last night. I was called out to my it was my mum was 95 yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday.
She's got vascular dementia. It all went Pete Tong. I had to go out and sort her out in the middle of the night. On the way home, I did a 360 in my car. I came over the bridge out of Headcorn, and there'd been a water leak. And, of course, overnight it had frozen. As soon as I hit it, I just went round a complete circle.
Yeah.
Luckily, at that time in the morning, there were no other cars. Huh?
You didn't catch a curb or anything?
I didn't catch anything. I did the most perfect pirouette. And then went on my
your feet, so that was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm really impressed.
Yeah, yeah.
So the wife a few years ago on the motorway, she had a baby in a cot on the back seat. It was that long ago that was what you did.
Yeah,
and she spanned the car through 180 degrees and parked right next to the curb.
Yeah,
it wouldn't have been so bad because it was my blooming car. She and the baby, which is all that really counts, were fine. Well, and they walked away.
But do you think that they're cutting costs by not gritting?
No, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, it was the coldest night of the year so far, according to my car thermometer.
Yeah, I'm going to tweet Canterbury City Council and ask where the grit is, or Kent County Council would be, won't it?
Yeah, it's KCC.
I'm going to annoy them.
Anyway, we're going to have our mid-show break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from Tom Finn, and we're going to hear from Simon Webster.
Can't wait.
What do you reckon?
We've got Danish pastries.
Here we go.
Oh, yo.
Or cinnamon rolls.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.